Hello, neighbors, and welcome to Dungeons Without Dragons, a tabletop role-playing game podcast focused on fun. This podcast is brought to you by the STVN Network and listeners like you. Thank you. We hope you enjoy today's program. Hey, neighbors, this is Steven, and welcome to episode 2 of season 1 of Dungeons Without Dragons. We hope you all enjoyed episode 1, where we learned about the world of 1980X and all the different players that are playing. And now I'm going to turn it over to our Dungeon Master, Sam, where we are going to introduce each player's character.
All right, so how I'm going to decide on who goes first in these character stories is I'll just be rolling a d4, and 1, 2, 3, 4 is in the order of the people in front of me, so it's going to go with Quentin, Haley, Ellie, and Steven. And so let's roll. Steven. All right. So this is going to be the intro for Maxwell Pixelton.
Yes.
All right. So we go to the northern part of Lakefield to the Find Pinewood, a large suburb where all the houses look the same, you know, kind of ranch style, is what I'm imagining here. And we find the Pixel residence. Max, where are you? A middle-aged looking human man opens your door. Are you awake?
I just got out of bed. I'm sorry. What's up?
You're gonna be late for the bus. Come on, you gotta get going. It's your first day of junior year.
It's the first day of junior year?
Yeah.
Already?
Yes.
Oh, man. Okay, well, I guess I better get out of bed.
Don't forget the piece of toast. It's like one of those animes now.
Oh, no. Okay, toast, bus, bed. I got to get out of all of this. Let's go. All
right. So you go through your morning routine, probably haphazardly, get some clothes on, brush your teeth maybe, grab that piece of toast and like have it in the corner of your mouth like every anime.
Yeah.
You barely make it to the bus. And actually, can you roll me? This is going to be the first roll. Can you roll me a... I need a dexterity saving throw.
For D20?
D20.
Okay. I got a 1.
And this is how we start the game.
Okay. Yeah. Steven, sorry, Maxwell's going to die on the first roll. That's what's going to happen.
He falls flat on your face.
He falls back and dies.
No. You poor bastard. Okay.
Okay. I think this happened to me last time too, where I rolled like a 3 or something.
So you get on the bus and you feel nothing too particularly weird, but suddenly you just find yourself on the floor and you're going to take 3 points of damage because of that nat 1. And you just, you look up and you just hear everyone laughing at you. Absolutely, like kids are pointing at you, laughing at you.
Brutal.
And you see the culprit of why you're on the floor, and you see Chad Stevington.
Chad Stevington, my sworn nemesis.
What's up, bro? Oh, dude, that was so funny. Dude, you fell for the easiest trick in the book. I just had my foot out, like, plain as day, and you fell for it. What a loser.
I'm sorry, Chad. Do you want my lunch money?
Chop, dude. I've been asking for every day since freshman year, dude. Give me your lunch money.
Okay. Well, it turns out I actually forgot my lunch money at my house.
Roll me a persuasion check on that.
Okay. 7.
7. Wait,
still in the lower half, but not.
All right, well, I know that you're fucking lying right now, dude. So give me your lunch money right now, or you're gonna go to Pain Town.
And he holds up his fist sort of really menacingly. It doesn't take him a lot to kind of shake your boots.
Okay. To shake your boots.
His wee little boots.
Yeah. His wee little boots.
So, he's just going to take your lunch money, regardless. You
dang know, it, I can't roll my way out of this?
No.
Okay, shoot.
A 1 and a 7 plus 1, that's not really going to do you much. Basically, you lose your lunch money, but you walk. Where do you sit in the bus? You sit closer to the front? That's where all the after boys are.
Yeah, well after that nasty spill, I'm heading straight to the back. Yeah, straight to the back. Yeah.
So you head straight to the back, and you actually meet a familiar face. It is your friend, Holly Ringwald.
Oh, okay, excellent.
And Aaron Cockra, girl. She's about 17 years old, same as you. You guys have known each other ever since you guys were in kindergarten. So ever since you guys are babies. What happened up there? You just look like you got your shit kicked in.
Well, Holly, I did. Chad took my lunch money. I tried telling him that I didn't have it, and it didn't work, and he almost beat the shit out of me.
Are you okay? He's like,
yeah, I'm all right. I just had a little fall. Other than that, I'm okay. It was just, you know, an embarrassing way to start the school year.
Yeah, well, you know what? There's always better days.
There's always better days. You're right, Holly.
All right. So let's actually cut to our next character. That is going to be Hapra. So... Well, we hear Pinewood, that's it. All right, okay.
Is that the Hoity neighborhood?
Pinewood is actually the suburb. That where okay. Stephen lives.
Okay.
Or Maxwell. So we just head west of Pineleaf to a lavish gated community full of incredible mansions owned by the rich and powerful. We are in Oakleaf. On the second home to the right, we see the home of Hapro. And you hear a knock on the door as you see a tall, slender firbolg open the door. Miss Apro, your father requests your presence at breakfast this morning.
Ugh, this early?
Ma'am, it is 7:45.
It's far too early for this, but okay.
All right, so do you do anything before you head down to breakfast? Do you get ready for school, or are you just like... roll out of bed, go to breakfast.
Yep, just rolled out of
roll
bed.
Roll out of bed? Okay, solid. So you go downstairs and you see your dad and mom sitting at opposite ends of probably the largest ornate table you will ever see, full of copious amounts of food in a spot in the middle just for you.
So, today's your first day of school, correct?
Your father, Githler, says he's a more middle-aged half-elven man. Probably say about 200 years old. These guys live forever.
I expect you to be on your best behavior. I don't need you to make me and your mother look bad.
Yes, Father, I'm going to be on my best behavior. I'm going to do all the right things.
And then your mother, Eleanor, gives Githler a glare. What your father means to say is that we are just worried about your future. You know, you've gone to be such an athlete, but we've kind of noticed that you really don't have much drive to do anything else.
Mother, what more can you expect from me? I'm doing everything that I can at school.
And as you say that, your dad just holds up his newspaper, quietly leaving the conversation. And what's kind of, as he's reading, he's like, and your mom just kind of gives your dad another glare and gets up and turns towards the firbolg. Can we please get Hapro her lunch? She doesn't need to be late for school today. And the firbolg kind of just nods and slowly as humanly possible grabs a sack and gives it to you. And he says,
this is a delicacy for where I'm from.
And it's, and you open it up and you see a bag of just berries.
Good. Take care, Miss Hapro.
And how do you get to school? I feel like you would have a car.
I do. Yeah. I drive.
You drive. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool.
It's a Mercedes.
It's a Mercedes. It's a Mercedes. Oh. Awesome. Okay, cool. That is basically your intro. At that point, give me basically. Oh, okay. Awesome. See. So we go to Midtown, where the town begins to bustle and bustle more. And we are actually in the Oakleaf Heights apartment complex, where we see a half-elven girl and an older half-orc man sitting in the middle of an apartment living space.
Just breathe. Susie, become one with your powers and emotions.
I am one with them. They are in me.
Feel yourself connect with the floors and the wall and the ceiling.
Well, I am in the room, so... All right. Sorry, Sensei.
Just breathe.
And you just hear an alarm clock go off.
Shit.
You are not late to school yet. I set an alarm clock for 5 minutes before you are late. You must be going now.
Thank you, Sensei. I appreciate it.
Now, don't forget. Try to see this as not a force that you need to go against, but as something that you need to come and accept.
Do I have to?
Yes.
Okay.
And that's what the monks have sent you here for. That is why I'm here for.
Okay, thank you, Tokido. I appreciate you. All right, well, wish me luck, because this is going to suck ass.
Don't forget your don't forget your piece of toast.
Thank you.
Is toast like the universal breakfast of the world?
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Toast is like any anime.
It's intro. Always toast. Yeah,
so they like run out with a piece of toast in their mouth.
Yeah. I'm grabbing, and like a typical anime, I have my messenger bag, and I put it on my shoulder, and I have the toast, and I like, kind of wave off and do like a mock cutesy thing, and I'm like, fuck this, and like run out. And I actually go to school.
Yeah. Yeah. So do you walk to school, or are you taking the bus?
I'll take the bus.
You'll take the bus. All right, can you roll me a dexterity saving throw?
Sure. Sick. I got a 13.
A 13 with your modifier included?
Yes.
Okay. So you as you walk onto the bus, you see a leg sticking out in the hall, but you totally see it, so you just step over, and you just hear,
oh, fuck, dude, I thought that was going to be sick as fuck. Dude, it worked for that idiot Pixelton. I thought it would work for you, whatever.
Okay, I just kind of glare at the loaf of a person that's daring to say that and trying to trip me. And I just kind of look and I'm like, whatever. And I keep walking towards the back.
So you're sitting in the back. All right.
I prefer.
Yeah. So you actually do see an Aarakocra sitting right next to a half-elf. And the half-elf actually has kind of seen better days. He okay. looks kind of beaten up and a little bit dejected.
Okay.
And you say anything to him, or do you just kind of, like, notice it and not...
I look over him like, rough morning?
Very much so.
Is it that asshole up front?
Yes. Huh. Chad, of course. My arch nemesis, Chad.
And he's monologuing. All right. Chad, huh? Is this kind of his MO? His typical...
Yeah, he always asks for my lunch money, and he typically bullies me.
You shut up! I can hear you back there!
How about you shut up, or I'll cave your face in.
What was that?
You heard me, punk.
I really can't. You're kind of quiet over there. It's a bus. It's loud.
I said, and I stand up, you want to take this?
Yeah! Dude, fight on the first day? Hell yeah!
Don't embarrass yourself, kid.
Are we actually gonna go fight?
Fight.
So Chad comes up and just walks up to you, and he's going to... you're good. It's okay, I'm pulling up Chad's character sheet. So we're definitely, preferably editing
that. I'm staying within character.
No, for sure. I love
like,
this.
For
okay.
a record, I don't like a bully. And I'm also a half elf, so I'm kind of like,
this
prick.
This is the thing I love about Dungeons
What's
and Dragons.
What is Chad Stevenson's race? What's his intelligence?
His intelligence is a
is it nil?
It's a minus one, actually.
Fuck yeah, so he's got like an 8 or a 9 intelligence?
He has an 8, yeah.
Hell yeah.
He's a Goliath barbarian, so he's
actually... Oh, so he's huge.
He's like, at his age, he's like 7'2".
He's huge.
Think of like Shaq.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a big bully.
He's a large man.
Yo, dude, you wanna fucking go?
I don't think that it's necessary to start off a beautiful day
he
such as this.
He swings at you.
Okay. Oh.
And he... shit.
What
it's
are
a
you...
19.
Uh-oh.
So he just absolutely decks you
Can
in the
I
face.
Dodge?
That's a... for a 19.
Well, I saw him coming. Okay.
Yeah. I was going to say a 19. I will say probably doesn't dodge on that one. But you take only 2 harm.
Okay.
On that one. He just comes up to you and just clocks you in the face in a mid-sentence.
Cool. All right. Now you pissed me off. And and I would like to kick out his legs from underneath him.
Okay. Give me a d20.
It doesn't go well. It's an 8.
An 8?
With my modifier.
So you just plainly just kick him in the legs.
Cool, that's like, fine.
Dude, what the fuck?
Can I try for the crotch with my other leg?
Yeah, roll me a d20 on that.
Fuck yeah. Nat 20! Nice. Oh, yeah. Nat 20 plus 4 modifier for...
This dude's gonna need a nice pack after this.
He's gonna need a new pack. Yeah.
He crumples like a sack of bricks. He just falls to the floor. All right, and so I think we're going to go over to our last character. That's great. So we actually go to east of to Lakeside, an older side of town that used to be a lot nicer, but in recent years people have just moved out. It's been way too expensive to actually have the Lakeside property. And we hear the ringing of an alarm clock as we see Bruce lying in his bed.
And then he reaches over and just, like, misses the alarm clock a couple times.
Classic.
Like,
yeah.
Turns it off.
Roll to like, turn off.
Roll to turn off.
And he does.
20.
No!
You smash. Yeah.
I touch it, it explodes. Yeah, and so I kind of take a second. I'm like, oh, okay. And, you know, he stands up and he goes over into his closet. He's going to put on some... blue jeans, green t-shirt with the school name on it, and then a green tracksuit because he's it's like his you know, sideline wear for his game,
for war. His big game, yeah, of war. Okay, sick. Yeah, so you know, you start getting ready, and a middle-aged elven high elf woman actually calls up.
Good morning, Bruce.
Hey, Mom.
I made you breakfast. I know it's your big day, the first day of junior year, and I know that you have tryouts today.
Yeah.
And she's holding just, like, the plate of the shittiest-looking, like, pair of scrambled eggs you've ever seen. There's shell still in it.
Oh, like and McDonald's scrambled eggs?
Yeah. And like a wow, single mom, piece of bacon.
That requires them to be real eggs.
Did you, oh, true. Did you scramble the whole egg?
That's it. Well, yes, that's what I heard. Would give you extra protein is the shell.
Thanks, Mom. He sits down at the table and begrudgingly eats the scrambled egg.
She's just like...
wishing he had toast.
Do you have any toast, Mom?
No, I'm going to run to the store after.
Okay.
And you just see her just like sit and hold like, daintily just like a cup of coffee as she watches you just eat these eggs. She has nothing better to do right now.
Can I help you?
No.
What do you... So you're going to the grocery store today? Is that...
Yeah, I need to get more bread and egg.
Can I use Dad's sword for tryouts?
Of course, honey. You know how much he means to you.
I know. I just wanted to double check. It should meet, you know, qualifications. Yeah. I just want to make sure.
Of course, honey. No, don't be late. You got to finish that up. I need you to have your protein. Be ready for tryout.
I think I would rather pee a whole brick. And he stands up from the table and like, he's like, seriously though, thank you. The thought that counts. I get it. And he walks upstairs and grabs the sword. It's like bundled up and like sort of burlap, and he slings it into his built-in strap that's in his tracksuit. And he grabs his backpack and kind of slings it over his shoulder. He's like, kind of not, he doesn't want to waste a whole bunch of time at the house. He's kind of just trying to get out of there. So he looks in the mirror, slicks his red hair back with some elf gel. And then he, you know, is down the steps. He's like, okay, bye. And then he's out the door.
Awesome. Are you taking the bus or are you running it halfway across town?
I'm going to take the bus.
All right. Give me that dexterity saving roll.
Four.
So, you know, you're kind of psyching yourself up. And as you're getting on the bus, you actually trip on the step.
Because you actually, the funny thing is, Chad's your teammate, so he would never do anything like that. He actually comes up, he's like, oh, bro, oh, first off, my junk on fire. Simply, dude, let me help you up. And he just kind of helps you up. He's also not looking too hot.
Did you just get your ass kicked, bro?
No. Bro, no, I'm, dude, have you seen me? He just like freezes staring at Susie. No.
What is she bothering you, bro?
No, bro, no. It's nothing. It's all good.
Okay, I walk back and I look over and I'm like, he deserved it, right?
Obviously. You've met him, right?
Yeah, I know. I just want, sorry for him.
And dude, can you stop munching butt over there with that loser? Come on.
Do you want a second helping?
No.
So what's your name? What's your deal? Why are you hanging out with a douchebag like that?
I don't really have a choice. My name's Bruce. He's on my team. We have tryouts today.
Bruce, huh? And she kind of looks you up and just like, Susie.
Nice to meet you. And what's... Oh, did he get a hold of you too?
He didn't really get a hold of me. I just tripped over him. So...
As one seems to do. And
the whole foot thing.
Fucking classic! Yeah!
Hence the, you know, the situation.
Oh, okay. All right. It's starting to come to me now. And he sort of gets a visualization in his head of, like, what went down. Sorry about that. Did he take your lunch money?
Yeah, Bruce. He took my lunch money. My name is Maxwell, by the way.
Nice to meet you, Max. And then he opens up his, like, sleeve pocket on his tracksuit and pulls out just, like, a wad of loose change and bills. And he's like, here you go.
Oh, well, thank you very much, Bruce. I appreciate you.
Zips it back up and he's like, okay, have a good day. And he turns and walks up to the front of the bus. And
King Arthur Prep.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right. Have a good one.
All right. So, now that we have all of our character introductions done, we are going to actually go to the western edge of Lakefield, where we find the campus of the Lakefield Adventuring Academy. The campus is large with five different buildings split up for the different types of classes being provided, all just being connected by stone walkways. The north wing is used for math, science, and spell casting and alchemy, kind of your nerdy shit. As what Chad would say. Just south of that is the main hall. It's a large building that holds the front offices. Dean Strongfold's office is there. All the lockers and the cafeteria. And the basement that's been rumored to hold bodies of students who haven't graduated. But it's also just mostly used for storage. And then the walkways split into a fork. The one path leads to the school's library while looking small on the outside. Don't let the looks deceive you, as this building holds over 200 years of Lakefield's history. And then if you take the other path, you'll find yourself on the south wing, mainly used for literature, history, and a class exclusive to LAA, Lakefield Adventuring Academy, as weapon familiarization. The last but most important building is on... the very west side of campus is actually the War Complex. War is a 3-on-3 battle kind of sparring sport that we have made up for this game. And we will go into that a little bit later when we have our war tryouts. And it's actually home with the five-time regional champions, the Lakefield Gricks. Fuck yeah. I like that already.
Go Gricks.
Go Gricks. Go Gricks. Grick. Okay. Let's go to... Actually, let's go to Hapro. So you pull up to school and you're in the parking lot. And you see your fellow war teammates, Genevieve, a half-orc, and Donna, a tiefling. And Donna just kind of gets up and is like, what's up, girl?
Hey, girl.
You know, how's your morning been? How's everything going? How's summer?
It was great, as always.
What did you? Any cute boys? What's going on now? Give me the tea. What's the tea?
No tea here.
No tea?
I was just focused on my sports all weekend and all summer. Just making sure that I'm ready to go for this year's war tryouts.
Dude, you're going to kill it. I know you are. You always do. You've been on varsity since you're a freshman. And you were the first freshman to ever be on varsity. And Genevieve is just like, yeah, yeah! and so... you kind of hear the first bell, Donna, is like, oh shoot, let's get going, girl, we gotta get to class, and y'all head to class, and let's cut to, The bus bringing the three other characters back in. Max, you know, how actually do we want to exit the bus? I want to see.
Chad and I are walking together talking about just tryouts, and Chad is probably kind of talking my ear off, and I'm kind of reluctantly like, yeah.
It's more of a Chad's talking to you.
Yeah, and I'm just kind of going to my class.
Yeah, okay. So basically, you are on your way to class, and you're actually greeted by Coach Stevenson, who is actually Chad's father.
Of course.
Nice.
Son of the war coach. Yeah.
Bruce! I'm glad to see you.
Hey, Coach. How you doing?
I'm good, man. Summer's been all good. We've been training with all the little kids, though. You planning on trying out this year?
I am, yeah. I brought my dad's sword. He sort of taps the hilt of the sword strapped to his back.
Of course. I mean, hell, if I can't see a future where you aren't a war hero.
Well, I appreciate that, Coach. It means a lot to me. Hopefully I'll get a chance to prove it to you later tonight.
All right, man. Hey, I'll see you in class, okay?
You got it, Coach.
All right.
What does Coach Stevenson teach?
He teaches the typical high school coach class, history.
Oh, okay. I was going to guess that. Okay.
Driving.
Drama, actually. he's really in touch with himself.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean.
Okay, Maxwell, let's actually go to you. So you and Holly get off the bus. You guys are just kind of walking to your lockers. Do you kind of discussing like what you guys did over the summer? And...
Yeah. Well, I want to thank Susie first for helping me for sticking up to Chad for me. That was pretty cool. So Susie, thank you. I am in your debt, and I will repay you at some point.
There, no debt. I'm happy to do it. Assholes like that have it coming, and I'm happy to deal it.
Oh, well, thanks, Susie. If you're interested, the AV club is actually having a meeting after school if you want to join.
I mean, I appreciate the invitation. let me put it this way. I'll think about it.
Okay, cool.
Just, I'm not usually one for, you know, groups, but I'll give it a shot.
Cool. Well, yeah, thanks again for helping me out with Chad. I really appreciate you. I hope to see you soon.
Yeah,
I
hope to see you too. Have a good one, Molly.
Or
Holly.
Yeah. Susie, Holly actually kind of like brings you aside. He's like, hey, thank you so much for me just looking out for him. We've grown up together, but he just can't really stand up for himself.
You're just politely saying he sucks.
Yeah. But you just...
I feel like he's going to come into his own, but the weak need to be defended in the meantime. So if there seems to be an issue, just holler at me. I don't have a reputation here anyway yet, so might as well make a start of it.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome, Holly, and you take care.
Yeah, you too. And then she runs off with you, Maxwell.
Hey,
get
up!
and you guys are kind of just at your lockers, getting ready for the first class. Do you organize? I feel like, are you a sticker locker guy? You have stickers in your locker?
Okay, sidetrack. Fun fact, we actually couldn't have stickers in our lockers.
Oh, really?
In school.
We really couldn't.
Yeah, we couldn't. But if that were allowed, yes, I would have stickers in my locker.
School was ran by fascists.
So. Yeah.
No artistic expression here.
Well, while you're setting up and stickers of...
PBS.
PBS?
Yeah.
I was trying to think of... I was thinking Arthur, but yeah.
Well, Arthur's on PBS. Yeah.
Okay. A dorky-looking like gnome guy comes up to me. He's like, Maxwell Pickleton?
Hey, do I know you?
Sorry.
I'm didn't come up with the character name.
Tony. I'm Tony.
I'm Marcus... I'm just this aide for and he takes a breath of his inhaler. I'm Gilther's aide. I just am here to give you this. You're assigned a shadow for a new student for the year, and he just hands you like this crumpled up, like somehow like sweat covered piece of paper. Like you can tell he like talking is not this guy's strong suit.
Yeah, poor guy.
Yeah. So if you just need to report to Dean Stronghold, and takes another inhaler, inhale, and he'll give you your shadow. And he just like kind of quickly scurries away.
Okay, so I'll go ahead and head to the dean's office then.
Awesome. All right, let's go to Susie. So you get to the bus, you have that alteration, excuse me, with Maxwell. Do you do anything specific when you get to, get to school? Basically, just kind of go in the main hall.
Yeah, I go to the principal's office to pick up my schedule.
Okay. you're greeted by an elderly fey woman. You must be Susie. I'm Miss Gray, Dean Strongfold's secretary, and I'm supposed to be here to give you your schedule and tell you how things go. And I'm also here to assign you a student mentor to make sure that everything on your first day goes okay. And right as she finishes that, speak of the devil, Maxwell walks in.
Oh, hey, Susie, what's up?
Hey, stranger. Get into any more altercations?
Thankfully, no, but I did get called to the dean's office. What are you here for?
I'm new.
Oh, that makes sense.
You see, this actually is going to be your mentor today, Susie. Mr. Pixelton is going to show you around and take you to class to make sure everything is okay.
All right, well,
All right, go to class!
Great.
Get out of my office!
Yes, ma'am. And she rolls her eyes as she walks out.
All right, so, Maxwell, what do you do, basically? Do you just kind of show Susie around?
I give her, like, the campus tour, show her around. Just very, very surface-level stuff. I don't tell her about, like, the cliques and stuff like that in the school.
Not fit in any of them anyways.
I take her around school. I show her where her classes are and go from there.
All right. Let's actually cut to the first class. So,
I have a question. What's their address code?
No, it's, like, a public school.
There is still a dress code. Okay. Yeah. Just because but
like, it's loose. Like, okay. As long as you're not, no shoulder rule and whatnot.
I have one shoulder showing.
Sorry.
Just kidding.
Expulsion.
You need to go to the counselor's office and get the size XXXL t-shirt to cover
that.
Neck
of that t-shirt.
Okay, so let's cut to the classroom. So it's basically a medium-sized room. Each desk is actually set up in a circle of four, all facing each other. And I'd say there's about five of these desks with a total of 20 students. Basically, everything is taken. I want Bruce to actually walk in, and what do you do?
What are my seat options?
Everything is basically taken. There's one lone seat.
Where is it?
It's going to be closest to the teacher's desk.
Oh, fuck. Okay. And he sort of begrudgingly walks. He still has his backpack with him. Mm-hmm. Like, he didn't even go to his locker. He just kind of wandered around the hall talking to other sports-like people. Who am I sitting by? Just the teacher?
That's the closest desk to yours.
Okay. And he goes over, puts his bag.
It's just the desk, and so the teacher's actually not there yet.
Oh, okay.
So it's just his desk.
He puts his bag under his desk and takes his sword and like kind of leans it up against the side of his. There's like a little, how under desks there are like little racks for books.
Mm-hmm.
On the side of them, there's like a little spot to like sheath your weapons.
Yeah.
Right. And so he puts it on the side of his desk. He sits down. He just like lays his head on the desk.
Yeah.
And tries to get some sleep before class starts.
And as soon as you kind of are dozing off, you actually have Hapro walk in, and you see that everything is basically taken, but there is one desk with a familiar face on it.
Nice. Okay, so I'm walking into the classroom. I have my backpack on. I'm ready to go. I go and sit right beside Bruce.
Hey, Happy. What's up?
Not a lot. You look really tired today.
Yeah, Mom made me eggs this morning.
No toast?
No. I'm like, what the hell, Mom? And he sort of takes a pen out of his like pocket, and he starts scribbling on the desk. It's like, so did you drive your car to school?
Yeah, that's the new car that Father got me over this summer.
Yeah, must be nice to have a dad. Mine's dead.
Oh,
He's saying it kind of jokingly, but he's serious at first, and then he's like, I'm fucking with you.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not. He's dead. But like, I and then he's just kind of like. Just starts scribbling back on the desk.
I'm like setting my backpack down and getting comfortable like in my seat just really awkwardly because this is already an awkward conversation.
What, have you heard anything about this teacher?
No, nothing.
Yeah, I'm not. What's his name, Sam?
Oh wait, do we know him? Because we're athletes.
You guys know each other.
But do we know the coach or do we know the teacher?
Yes, you do, because it is history. Yeah. Okay. And it's the classic Stevenson. Coach history teacher.
Oh, it's
he's
Steven.
The war
that's
coach.
That's why he said see you in class. Is the, I feel like I should have made that more explicit. So as y'all are having this conversation about dead fathers, we see actually Maxwell's first class. Turns out it's history. You walk into a room full of tables, but they're all taken except one lone table by the teacher's desk with two empty chairs.
Okay. So I will take, if that's the only seat available, I'll walk up to it and take it.
All right. I'd have to say Susie follows since shadowing him.
Small world.
Oh, hey, guys, you're the bus people.
Yeah, hey, Bruce, right?
Yeah.
Yes, my identity is bus person.
It's like bird person from Rick and Morty, but yeah. Bus person.
Remind me, you're Susie and AV Club.
Yeah, oh. Maxwell, but yes, I'm president of the AV Club.
Okay,
yes.
Cool.
Susie, you must be new here. Surprise.
Hi. And your name?
Hapro.
Hapro. Huh. Elvish? Or dwarf?
Dwarf.
I mean, sorry, but...
It's fine.
Just, okay. Cool. Well,
and
nice to meet you.
In the middle of this conversation, you just see a coach coming in. He's kind of probably about 45, mid-40s, early 50s. He doesn't take the best care of his appearance, and he's a middle-aged human man, I should say. All right, good morning, class. Welcome to History 101. I'll be your teacher for this semester. I'm Coach Stevenson. He writes coach on the board, and Steve, and he kind of, has a thing for a second, and then Stevenson, and you will call me coach, because I don't want none of that Mr. Bull crap here. I am not your dad, I am not your principal.
I'm your coach.
I'm your coach, damn it. So here's how this class is going to go. You guys are going to be broken up into different groups. And I'm going to give you a few chapters at a time out of this textbook. And he slams down probably like a literal foot tall textbook of just it's the past 200 years of Lakefield. And he's, all right, I'm going to give you a few chapters to read at a time. And you're going to write an essay together and turn it in. Yeah, I know. Every time I have this class, I hear the students say the best part is the group project, so I'm having this class exclusively be group projects.
You gotta be fucking me.
Today, I'm not gonna give you all the books since we have to get them out of storage. He looks off in the distance for a second. But today you're just gonna introduce yourself to each other and make sure that your groups are happy with each other, because there is no changing. Because that is too much for me to handle right now. as you see, Coach is a little bit hungover from the night before, but we're not going to get into that. And you're not going to tell the principal or the dean if that's all right with you. Coach just sits down at his desk and kicks his legs onto the table. And he just falls asleep in probably like record time. And so, what do we do?
Okay, teacher's asleep, so... he wanted us to introduce ourselves, right?
Yeah, but he also doesn't give a shit, so.
Right. So I feel like if I'm on a table with Susie, okay, I'll be like, Susie, the teacher just fell asleep. What should we do?
I'm new. I mean,
sounds like a free period to me.
Yeah, do you guys just want to, kick it? I mean, I've got, taps her cigarettes and... starts to take one out and light up in class, and then
everyone else in class is just looking at you like, what the fuck?
And she takes one really long drag, and she's just like,
hey, are those jazz cigarettes?
No, man, the monks would have killed my ass. No, they're just tobacco. But...
the monks would have killed my ass.
All right, damn. so she taps out her cigarette, and she's just like, great, it's one of those schools.
It was the 80s. You could smoke in school back then. Yeah.
Yeah, but, like, that's only in, like, the bathrooms, though.
Well, still.
Yeah.
Smoking in the boys' room. Hey. So she's just like, tough crowd, okay. But, like, stamps out her cigarette on her desk and, like, puts it back in, and she's just like, well, this is going to be interesting. Hey. So, pretty dwarf gal, you've got money. What do your parents do?
Well, my mother is an attorney, and my father is a politician here.
Politician? And you just see kind of like this, she just disassociates for a second, and she's like, sorry, how is life at home for you? That sounds really, fun. And she says, like, sympathetically, but she's also being a jackass about it.
I'm reflecting on how hard my parents are on me, and I'm sitting there, like, wondering how I should answer this, and I just say, it's fine.
Okay. So, Susie's appearance, she's a goth chick. Like, her hair, she has black hair, she's got, like, one platinum white streak. Seems to be a choice made. And, like, just this barrage, she's got these big old Doc Martens that she just kind of, like... Great. So, not wanting to go with it, oddly very sticking out with you four. She's like, all right, so King Arthur over here. What? Heard something about dead dads?
Oh, yeah, my dad's dead.
Sorry about that, man.
You're very casual about that, Bruce.
Yeah, he was my hero, but I never met him, so.
Oh.
He just raises her eyebrows like, oh, fuck.
Oh, hey, Haps, what do you think of this? And he pulls out this, like, big folder of, like, battlefield logistics and, like, maps. He's like, I'm working on a new blitz, and I was just wondering, like, and he's sort of just, he engages in a very methodical conversation about, like, this new plan he's been working on about the way that his team is constructed. He prefers, as captain, to be really the fighter and then have two spellcasters to assist and stuff, and so... He and Haparo, he wants her to be on his team, but it's just never worked out in the past. They usually get paired up on different teams.
Well, it's mainly because you are always paired up with Chad, who is also a barbarian.
Yeah, who's an idiot. Yeah, so,
don't say that too loud. It's his dad over there based on the appearances and the intelligence.
And on the genealogy, too, that is his dad.
Oh, great. Money on the mark.
So I'm like reviewing all of these plays and everything, and we just kind of
we're
just like ignoring. Own, like, yeah, we're zoned in on war and all of these plays right here, and I just they're really good. They're awesome.
Yeah,
and
I'm hoping it's enough to be an impressive start to my the junior meek shall year inherit.
And you slowly hear Coach Stevenson kind of like, oh, am I hearing plans for these games, huh? Am I hearing this out of you, Bruce? You know?
Yeah, no, Coach, sorry.
I don't like talking in my class. Unless it's about war, let's go. What do we got?
Okay, Coach. And so he like kind of picks it up and he walks over to Coach's desk and like spreads out.
Coach turns all of his chair.
And this
around,
is when we make like, our pitch sits. To be on the same team.
Yeah, I'm going to be like, okay, Coach, so I know you're a big fan of pairing me with Chad.
Damn right. Best boy out there. Well, next to my son.
He's a wonderful barbarian. I'm just thinking, damn right. With these statistics that I have, these maps and these, I don't, if I'm looking to make changes, and, you know, he's kind of like shitting his pants here because confrontation with authority figures is not really his thing. And he's like, okay, well, let me just start here. I don't like playing with Chad.
What?
I think that he is a selfish player, and anytime I explain a plan to him, he forgets it immediately. And I think And I know we're undefeated, Coach. 5 years.
Five years.
Go Grix. I get it. It's awesome. But we could go further. We could, and I hear that the Water Run Owlbears, bro. I hear that their new team is like great, Coach.
Yeah, but they're not five time great because that's us. Look, he leans in close. He gets real close to you. Now, what I'm hearing is that you don't want to work with my son. And yeah. I understand. I don't like talking unless it's about war. But here is just what I understand. My son's an idiot. I understand he's an imbecile.
Is he in class right now?
No. he actually sees Chad, like, the door's open, and he's actually walking by, and he just, like, stops. He's like,
His dad's just talking shit on him.
He's just like,
Chad's walking by like, saw, dude.
I saw, dude. This is how a villain is created. That's
This is how a villain.
It's true.
So I get it. There is a reason why I'm putting him with you for the past 2 years. Okay?
Coach, what is that? I don't want. I carry him in every game. He gets down,
He looks up to you as like you are a god.
What we're trying to say is, we would be better on a team.
I mean, we grew up together. We played juniors together. Okay. We have so many plans. Like, here, look at this. And he sort of like shoves these papers across the desk, and he's like, every one of these blitzes and strategies only works if we have two spellcasters and a fighter, right? And I mean, it's no secret, I'm the best fighter at this school. And Haps is the best spellcaster at this school. So like, why, what is the coach? We have the ultimate combinations. Give us a chance to prove it in practice in the tryouts tonight, okay?
Here's what's up.
Susie just raises her hand. She's like, can I go take a piss?
Yeah, just get out of here. We're talking war here.
And then as she walks by, she's just like, know thyself and know thy enemy. 1,000 battles, 1,000 victories. And walks off.
Roll me a persuasion check.
9.
In your persuasion? Nine. That's intelligent. That's plus 0. All right. You know what? I get it. I understand. You don't like him. But you know what? Damn it. I have a better idea. I see. I think you, Bruce, and you, Haparo, are going to be perfect on a team together with Chad.
Oh, fuck. And
Chad walks back by. Saw, dudes.
Fucking nice.
Bruce kind of like, okay. And he takes his papers and he's like, I think that's the best we're gonna get, Haps.
Okay, I like this. Let's go to Susie. What do you do? Are you going to the bathroom or are you up to mischief?
I pass Chad in the hall.
Oh no.
he turns ghost white. He is just looking down, just like trying to avoid all eye contact with you.
And I do a very ironic preppy hair flip. And I'm like, ah! And I walk by.
Just, oh, oh God.
And I just blow him a kiss and wink at him. And, go, and actually go to the bathroom
and
finish
he's confused.
My cigarette. Oh, nice.
He's confused with the kiss blowing. I don't think he's not smart enough to get that that's ironic. So he's just like confused. Like,
Does she like me? Is that why she beat me up?
That's
what I do to girls.
He's got like fifth grade, like, yeah. I'm going to bother someone when I have a crush on them.
Let's perpetuate
mentality.
Abuse, yes. No, she goes to the bathroom, finishes her cigarette, which she got about like a third of the way through, and because she takes really long drags, and then she like actually comes back to class.
Oh, okay. Because
she's like, I promise Todoko that I would at least be good-ish
try
on the first week.
Least.
At least try for the first week. Yeah.
Maxwell, are you doing anything while you just literally see everyone in your group will get away from you?
That's what normally happens.
It's not personal, but I promise.
Yes. No, I'm just waiting for Susie to come back because at this point she was the only person that I was having a conversation with. So it's like whenever SpongeBob and Patrick, he's like, well, what are you doing when I'm gone? Wait for you to come back. That's what we're doing right now. But I'm just listening to their plans. I thought about interjecting saying, no, coach, they said that they wanted to play without Chad, because I know my persuasion's high, or my charisma's high, so I tried to. I was thinking about persuading him that way, but I just decided not to do it.
I love it. I love it. I feel like that's very in character.
And I just don't want to cause a stir.
Yeah, of course.
And I come back into the room, and I see Maxwell, like, internally struggling with something, and I'm like, if you have something to say, say it out loud to the class.
But, yeah.
Okay, then that gives me the courage then to say it. And then I will say, Coach, it sounds like Hopro and Bruce want to be on a team without Chad.
What?
Yeah, that's what they said.
Well, you know what? I think I don't remember your name being Coach Stevenson. I think my name's Coach Stevenson. That's what it says on the board here. So I think I know what I'm talking about.
But what if...
To his best ability.
But what if Bruce and Hopro show you that they're going on a team together without Chad?
Yeah, Coach, that's what we're saying. We're saying, what if at tryouts today, we pair up a team and, I mean, like, you know,
you're telling me that you don't want Chad, who has won 2 regional championships with you? You don't want him on the team?
Okay, Coach, how about we just try it both ways? We can try it with Chad, and then we can try it with the third that I picked up.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Then that makes everybody happy.
I'm sorry, are you Coach? I don't remember telling you to talk to me like you're my second coach, okay?
Dude, I'm going to start crying in real life. Just
And Susie just, like, awkwardly, like, pats him on the shoulder, and he's like, dude, just stop.
So I'm done trying to convince,
Coach, he's right. I don't know why you're getting so mad at him.
Because he ain't a coach! I worked hard to earn this title!
Well, Coach, neither am I, but there seems to be a really big double standard here between... I mean, it's just like the social hierarchy thing, right?
Shut up! I don't want to hear about your socialist concepts, okay? That's too complex for me, alright? I'm a simple man, and all I know is war.
But wait, Coach, I got one more thing. Speaking of war, I'm president of the AV Club, and I actually review all of the war footage, and I can show you video proof that those two will do better together than without Chad.
They never played together, so how do you know they're better together?
Oh, true.
We practice together, Coach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we don't film practice. That's weird.
We do.
Weird!
In the middle of this,
he is totally lying. He's bluffing, like, 100%.
I think he knows this already. He doesn't know much, but he does know that you don't who films practices. So, in the middle of this, we actually... no one has noticed that there is a small dorky gnome just kind of sitting there waiting patiently to talk to Coach Stevenson. Sure.
What?
He turns around and this gnome just kind of quivers.
He's gonna piss himself.
Yeah, basically.
Need you at the assembly, sure.
Oh, and Coach Stevenson just like to hold him in your exchange. He's like, oh, okay, yeah, absolutely. You watch these kids and just we'll just wait for the assembly announcement. Okay, yeah. All right, cool. You got this, kid. And pats him on the back and just walks out. And the gnome just kind of like turns to the class. And
what's your deal, man?
Oh, don't hurt me, please, sure. I'm just the aide.
And at this point, Susie sizes him up, which doesn't take much, and
he's like
looks
3 feet tall.
Yeah, and looks over at Maxwell, and you're like, you want a ditch?
Yeah, let's get out of here.
Okay, you guys can come too, but you seem pretty clean cut.
I could never ditch. Mother and father would be so upset with me.
And you hear just a ding over the intercom. And you actually hear a very grandiose voice that we do know as my name. Recognition. I got way too many characters to be like, oh, I know every other character right now. Tobias Stronghold. Thank you.
Tobias, that's a good name.
It comes on over the announcement and is like,
every students, please. Report to the War Stadium for this year's 1980X commencement ceremony.
And it's just like immediately all the doors open and just students start pouring into the hallways.
I have timing, don't I?
Bruce walks over to the desk, picks up his, he like gathers his papers and like kind of haphazardly shoves them into his backpack and throws his backpack over his, grabs a sword, you know.
Okay, does everyone go to this ceremony, this assembly?
Yeah, I'll go to these. Well, I have to film it.
Yeah, so. Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, you're...
I go with Maxwell because I don't have anything better to do.
Right.
And don't know anyone else really, and I don't fit in with the jocks.
Yeah.
We're going because we have to.
Yes, of course. Because you guys are like literally have to sit on the actual field where they're having it. Because you guys are you just won regionals again, basically every student surrounds and fills up the entire stadium, and this giant towering man, Tobias Strongfold, just kind of watches eagerly. As he sees every student, and he goes,
"Welcome. This year is going to be some of the best years in our school's history. We will become 6-time war champions, thanks to our lovely team." And
he just kind of like outstretches his long. He's an air cockerel. I forgot to mention.
Okay.
So he's a big giant bird person.
What kind of bird?
I'm gonna say owl because he's wise.
Oh, I like this.
Okay. He's also the slowest of all the American birds. owl facts. You know?
Owl facts.
I'm here for it.
He outstretches his hand to Hapro, Bruce and Chad, and Jonathan, who is actually your other spellcaster, he won last year with you, and then there's also with Hapra there is Genevieve and Donna, who is your team, the JB team, and there's just like a slow, really just like, yeah, cool, like not really a cheer at all. And Tobias just slowly retracts his hand back in.
So let's make sure that this is going to be a good year for everyone and for all the faculty. Can we have a moment of silence for those that we have accidentally lost tragically last year to the senior prank?
The fuck?
And he just like looks down as solemn as can be. Then he looks back up, very, like, it's the slowest motion possible.
All right. Now in replacement, we have lost our librarian and our nurse from the tragic fire that was caused by the senior prank. I'd like to introduce you to Mr. Keelvar.
And you see this large, fearbulk man... just slowly saunters up to the microphone.
Hello.
And it's like, everyone's just like, what? Can you speak louder?
Bro, talk into the mic.
Hello.
And then he just walks back.
All right. And then we'll also have our new nurse, Nurse Westing, and,
this super slender and tall water genasi walks up and he's like,
"Hello, I am here to be your new nurse to make sure that everyone is feeling A-okay 100% all the time, 24/7, 365, and sometimes 366 if we're on the leap years."
She's exhausting.
Yo, shut up!
Your Chad just like gets so fucking impatient with everyone.
Dude, when is it Chad time?
Chad time. And Coach Gross. Stevenson is just kind of just like slaps him on the back of his head. And the nurse is just like,
"All right, very well. It's nice to meet you all. I was going to sing you a song of my people, but I think that no one cares." So,
and she just walks her off.
That's really sad.
That is really sad, yeah.
And
fucking Chad.
Dude, Chad, man. And Tobias Strongfield just walks back up very slowly.
"All right. I think that is everything that we need to do. Now, I think that we need a word of encouragement from our champions in war. And he slowly outstretches his arm again. Bruce, come give us a speech.
Okay. And he stands up and he walks up to the microphone. He like,
yeah, Bruce!
Yeah, woo! Yeah, I see you, Chad.
Yes. I love you!
I know.
I love you like a father!
Okay. We're just cringing up in the video booth.
Yeah.
We're like, oh, God.
Hey, go Grix, let's go!
Yeah. Go Grix!
I just wanted to say we're gonna be better than ever this year. We got some.
Chad's like jumping up behind you, like rubbing your shoulders. He's like really high, trying to hug you.
Chad, bro, okay, you're gonna have to take 3 steps away from me.
Oh, yeah, man, I will do!
He's not suppressed.
He sort of like recollects himself. He's like, yeah, and when the water run owl bears show their fucking, I mean, shush, show their faces at our field next week for the homecoming, we're gonna show them. And he's like just platitude after like just random
BSing it for sure. It's not prepared at all.
No, he's like, we've also got some really cool new strategies, new team lineups.
Fuck those water bears, man!
And Coach Stevenson's like slaps on this. Owl bears, get it through your head!
Yeah, but we're really looking forward to seeing everyone come out next Friday. Support us for the big game. If you guys want to try out tonight, be sure to head down to the court, and we have open tryouts. Please try out. Yeah, and that's a go Grick, go, and he kind of like
go Grick, yeah!
Holds his hands up, you know, he's like
Grick,
walks
Grick.
Off, and then sits down, and his face is just like, after he just sits down, he's just like, oh god.
Tobias walks back up very slowly to the microphone.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Bruce.
And he just sort of like shoots him a thumbs up.
He he looks down at his hand and it's all like the Sharpie's all scribbled.
Bruce. Brioche.
It's Bruce.
Bruce. Yeah, all right. Thank you. Thank you for these encouraging words, Bruce.
No problem, teach.
Go, I'm your dean. Go. Go, Grix. And one last thing. Welcome to the class of 1980X.
Yeah. And that's the end of the session, y'all.
Awesome.
Oh, yay.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much to our DM, Sam. It was fantastic, as always. You can catch us on episode 3 of Dungeons Without Dragons coming out next month. But for now, you can find STVN on all of the social networks at STVN0092. And you can also support me on Patreon at patreon.com/STVN to keep our content independent and ad-free. But for now, this is Steven.
This is Quentin Hoagland.
This is Haley Pace Rogers.
This is Ellie Lamb.
And this is Sam Smith.
And we will catch you all later. Bye.
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 And this is Josh. Chad in the house.